that. I'm not sure it's true. But here's mine. This is called The Hidden Claws. We've got a new cat. Just what we need, I know. Like, we don't have enough cats already, what with Coltrane and Basie and sometimes Parker. I say sometimes because Parker eats here but doesn't linger long enough for cat resident status. She'll take the fancy feast but doesn't need that whole bonding thing. Thanks anyway. Into this menagerie comes Gershwin, a heavy-set tuxedo kitty who's pretty much scared of everything. We've just inherited her from one of Lisa's friends, a cat owner who's moving where they don't take cats. Gershwin is an indoor cat, so the open cat door policy will be quite an adjustment. Her biggest problem, as with many in the gay community, is coming out of the closet. Literally. She goes into the closet of the spare bedroom and won't come out again. We leave her food, which is gone when we return, and the cat box, thankfully, is being used. But there's hardly a hint that another cat lives here. She's like the Phantom of the Opera, except the Phantom wanted to perpetrate his monstrous evil while Gershwin is basically eating and pooping. Still, I worry about her. She doesn't know the neighborhood. If she does get out, she may never find her way back again. As a precaution, I get a caller tag that says Gershwin with our phone number. We lure her out with a can of savory salmon feast and wrestle the collar on. She takes an angry swipe at Lisa, who makes an unsettling discovery. She's been declawed. But she's very unfair. Like, Gershwin doesn't have enough to deal with already, sharing these strange living quarters with the other cats, with only nubs on the ends of her paws. It's like a hidden clause in our original agreement, having to safeguard a clawless kitty. After about a week, Gershwin makes a bold advance. From the closet onto the bed of the guest room, she even lets us pet her, at least for a few seconds, before swatting at us with her harmless paws. Then something bad happens. We're gone for a couple of hours. Lisa goes to check on Gershwin and finds her in distress. While we were gone, she tried to squirm free of her collar, which wasn't on tight enough, and meant she had it lodged inside her mouth. It's in there tight, cutting painfully into her skin. Modern collars have a quick-release mechanism that snaps open in emergency. I try to pull it apart, but it won't give. My clumsy efforts are hurting the cat. I probably should let go, but I've almost got it. If I just pull a little harder, Gershwin scratches me. Oh my God, she's got claws, I realize. Lisa brings a pair of scissors. We cut the collar off. Gershwin promptly spits it out. But I look at the cat with a new respect, because she's not as helpless as we assumed. She could have been scratching us, but chose not to. It wasn't a question of a hidden claws, but rather hidden claws. Since then, Gershwin's been a lot more social. I feel like I've earned her trust with my misguided efforts to help her. All it took was a preventable problem and a botched attempt to fix it. Not a very good moral. I'm trying to work on that.